coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It's Tuesday, December 5, 2023, in the year of our Lord. I want to welcome and thank you for tuning into this platform. I appreciate each and every one of you, and I do want to say this. This is probably going to be one of the most important broadcasts. We're going to have Clay Clark coming on, but we're also going to have one of the speakers at the Reawaken Tour is going to be Liz Croken. Now, I've known Liz for, nearly a decade. And she was the first on the Pizzagate issue. Look, Pizzagate is real. The way it was portrayed, not. Seth Rich, the murder of Seth Rich. What's behind that? You're going to want to listen to what she's got to say. She's just a wonderful woman, very intelligent and extremely knowledgeable about these issues. Before I get into everything, I do want to thank you for your support. Thank you so much for all of your for sharing this platform, this episode, this show on your social media outlets. Thank you so much. Put the link in there. We appreciate that. Thank you for subscribing to Rumble and Brighteon. Thank you for leaving a comment. I pinned a comment as well on Rumble that I thought was extremely prescient to the times in which we live. I want to thank our sponsors as well, including trimwithdoug.com. You know, when it comes to stubborn belly fat, look, we're all searching for this miracle pill, aren't we? We're all looking for that. Generally, you've got to use a whole bunch of stuff, a whole bunch of different supplements and what have you. And it's difficult, you know. In addition to it being excess belly fat being determined to be one of the most dangerous fats linked to health issues. Generally, you have to use multiple products to target belly fat differently to manage excess weight around your midsection. Some products may focus on abdominal exercises or dietary changes, while others might focus on boosting metabolism or controlling cravings. But believe it or not, I found this exceptional alternative. I use it. Eric the Tech uses it. In fact, every member of my family that I can think of right now uses trimwithdoug.com, okay? I found this exceptional alternative that uses naturally sourced and science-backed ingredients from Mother Earth, and it's more effective at targeting belly fat, enhancing metabolism, promoting a toned midsection, better than most weight management products I've ever seen, and most assuredly typically found on store shelves. Tens of thousands of five-star reviews back up the notion that this amazing pill is not only a breakthrough in a bottle, but also helps remove the need for us to use countless diet pills and fat-burning supplements. But there's more. If you place your order now, you'll receive 51% off, over half off. I love it. Free VIP live health and fitness coaching for life. Two free new ebooks titled Top 10 Foods That Burn Belly Fat, Top 8 Exercises That Reduce Belly Fat, a 60-day satisfaction guarantee, and last but not least, free shipping. That's right. Just simply go to trimwithdoug.com. Take advantage of this limited time deal before they sell out. You will thank me later, as I always say. And with me right now, the man, the myth, the legend, the guy that gets things done, a guy that I've got a lot of respect for, and I'm being very serious about this, who really puts his money where his mouth is, puts his time, effort where his mouth is. You know, there are very few people on this planet right now, I believe, that has done as much for the Republic as Clay Clark. And he's put together this fantastic retinue of speakers at the next Reawaken Tour. And I don't know whether he knows it or not, but I grabbed one of his speakers who's coming on after him, and that is Liz Croken. And Liz and I go back, like I said, I think a decade maybe. In fact, she was on this platform when my son was alive, and she broke Pizzagate. Someone laid it out together, and I have a lot of admiration for her, as I do for Clay Clark. Clay, welcome, sir.
Hey, thank you so much for allowing me to be here with your listeners. And this just in, I apologize for the delay here. You know, most of our tour speakers on the Reawakened Tour were all being sued, subpoenaed, prosecuted, or persecuted. And I was just dealing with a legal call that has to do with actual ongoing litigation. And what happens is, you know, you have an interview booked at 9:30 a.m. Central, and you have your life organized. And well, then you get a subpoena, then you get a lawsuit, then you get a persecution, then you get and they're all time sensitive. And so right now, I just had to, for full transparency, I had to transfer over $100,000 of my personal money on Monday from my savings to cover the losses for the past couple events there, because these Reawaken America Tour events, we want them to be affordable for everybody. And people say, have you lost your mind? I did an interview last night there, Mr. Hagman, with Mike Lindell, where we were talking about the last 3.5 years, he and I working together, putting on these Reawaken America Tour events. And people always ask Mike, why do you put on the Reawaken America Tour with Clay Clark? General Flynn, why do you put them on with Clay Clark? Eric Trump, why do you do it? And they all go back to, you know, Clay's one of the few people crazy enough, and in this case myself, one of the people crazy enough to let people name their price for an event, and I don't take any income from it. And so they recognize the urgency of the moment, they being Mike Lindell, General Flynn, Cash Patel, Alina Hava, President Trump's attorney, just got off the phone. She'll be coming to the Reawaken America Tour in Tulare, California, and this will be our second to final event. So this event will be our final West Coast event. And then the next event we'll be doing will be sometime in the summer. And people ask me, Clay, why are you not doing more? Why are you only doing two more? It's because the vast majority of our keynote speakers will be serving in the Trump administration. If there is any kind of justice and election integrity, President Donald J. Trump will be the next president of these United States. And many of our keynote speakers will be actually serving in the White House in the Trump administration. So I encourage everybody out there, be a part of history. Come join us at the Reawaken America Tour, December 15th and 16th in Tulare, California, just outside of Fresno. And Doug, if you're commuting from Tulsa, Oklahoma, it's a convenient 24-hour drive from my driveway to California. I'm driving 24 hours in a white van with my staff, and we typically will stay in a Holiday Inn or a very affordable hotel, because these events, again, they operate at a deficit, and I'm the one who gets to pay for the deficits.
First of all, look, I get the fact, the lawfare, and I'm so sorry you've got to go through this, but look, I'm no stranger either. I've had I'm down $150,000 personal, out of my personal funds because of lawfare, okay, which I'm not allowed to talk about because, well, you know how that goes, right? So thank you for taking the hits like you're taking. Thank you. But second, and most importantly, the fact that you were still moving strong shows your character. And you know what? I do believe that the left is going crazy because Donald Trump will be the next president of the United States. I don't think he ever, he didn't. By rights, he should be the president right now. But,
right.
Clay, let me move something out of the way real quick here. I want to ask you this question, okay? Because I get a lot of crap. Well, you know, President Trump he's responsible for the these fatal shots, this vaccine stuff. Well, what's your response to that, brother?
Oh, I have a great response. And by the way, open invitation to you. I mean this to you. Yeah. If you want to come backstage for the final two events, I'll get you a backstage pass. Would love to introduce you to Eric Trump and General Flynn and Don Jr., et cetera. Also, for any of your listeners out there today, if you're listening out there today, and you go to timetofreeamerica.com and you request a ticket today, you do it today, you have a chance to win a backstage pass, and we only have 252 remaining tickets. You have a 1 in 252 chance to win a backstage pass where I can introduce you to all the speakers. So when we're backstage at these events, you might say, well, you know, if I was a fly on the wall, what are you guys doing back there? Well, what I'm doing is I'm gathering these wonderful people, and I want them to talk to each other. So I grab a guy like Dr. Peter McCullough, and I say, Dr. Peter McCullough, you need to meet Kash Patel. Kash Patel, you need to meet, you know, Jim Brewer. Jim Brewer, you should meet this guy. John Rich, country singer. Hey, you should meet, you know, and I'm introducing these people. Yeah. And then the purpose is that everybody will understand the five following things, Doug. Okay, here we go.
All right.
One, the models that said 2.2 million people would die from COVID were entirely bogus and were funded by Bill Gates and were created by the always nefariously wrong Neil Ferguson. Most people probably don't know that. They were the models that said 2.2 million people that came out of the UK that said 2.2 million people might die. They came out of the Abdul Jamil Latif Institute from the Imperial College. But they're bogus. So the entire idea that COVID was a super deadly virus, should we even talk on Zoom? The virus might get us. I mean, so that idea is bogus. The second, the PCR test. The PCR, you know this, but your listeners might not know this. The PCR test, the polymerase chain reaction test, the COVID tests. Those tests were falsely calibrated to inflate the number of positive cases. How do we know this? Kerry Mullis, the inventor of the tests, has said so multiple times before he passed away in a very Clinton kind of way. Okay, Kerry Mullis. The PCR tests are false. Okay. Now, third, the treatments for COVID-19 have always been effective. Budesonide, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, or check this out, nothing, Hagman, nothing actually turned out to be effective. There's budesonide, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, or a dose of nothing, yeah. nothing. Folks, nothing. What? Yep, budesonide, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, or nothing. Now, point number four, what'll kill you if you're listening to this show today and you go, man, I hate when Clay Clark is on that show. I can't stand that guy. I don't like him. I do not like the way he communicates. And I want to meet Jesus. What you do is you take the COVID protocol. Okay, you take remdesivir and midazolam. Now, I'm not encouraging suicide, but the COVID protocols do. Think about this. Remdesivir and midazolam will cause death. Remdesivir is a drug patented by George Soros in China that causes renal failure. Yeah. And midazolam is a breath suppressant. Now, why would you not want to take a breath suppressant? What? If you have an upper respiratory infection, because you don't want to die? Why would you not want to take a drug that causes renal failure that's patented by George Soros in China in conjunction with Gilead Labs? Because you don't want to die. And finally, the system and method for testing for COVID-19 was patented in 2015. Everybody, don't believe me. Do a Google search right now. System and method for testing for COVID-19. Do not believe me. Look it up, folks. System and method for testing for COVID-19. It was patented in 2015 by Richard Rothschild. What? Folks, look it up. I'm going to do it right now. I'm looking it up. Okay. System and method for testing for COVID-19. I click enter into what we call Google. It's a new technology. It says here, patent number US 2020 279-585-A1, like the steak sauce. 2020-279-585-A1, like the steak sauce. Okay, patent number. Look it up, folks. US 2020-279-585-A1, like the steak sauce. Patented here on October 13th, 2015. Richard Rothschild. So, what am I saying? Hagman, most people don't know that. So let me tell you the people that I have successfully communicated this idea to. Peter Navarro.
Yep.
This is the guy who authored the Trump economy. Is he a health specialist?
Know him well. I know
a medical doctor? No. You know what he is? He's a great economist. And you know what happens? He loves freedom. And you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to put him in jail. Meanwhile, he's in the White House, and he has said this on multiple interviews, including the Patrick Bet David interview. He could tell that Fauci was lying to him. But he had never served in a position where he was interacting with the NIH and the FDA and the CDC and all these three-letter organizations. So guess who gets that now? Peter Navarro.
Yep.
Guess who understands it now? Kash Patel. Kash Patel, who I would suggest that if Trump returns into office, he may become the head of the FBI. Kash Patel. Kash Patel gets it now. What? Yes. Did you know that Laura Trump gets it now? Hagman, the other day, Laura Trump, she spoke at the church I go to called Sheridan Church, and she did a Q&A, and people asked her about the shots, and she just said, I don't think it makes sense to take the COVID-19 shots.
That's
it doesn't
right.
make a lot. She just said, so again, I was not the president of the United States. This just in. I was not in the White House. This just in. I was not there. I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, away from the emotion, Someone should write that down. If you're trying to grow a successful company, by the way, that's what I do for a living. If you go to thrivetimeshow.com, I do business workshops every 2 months. I've been doing that since 2005. So if you get a chance to look those up, thrivetimeshow.com, I help grow businesses. And I always tell people, Hagman, I say, if you want to grow something in your life, a business, take the emotion out of the equation. Set that on fire. Throw the emotion out and just look at the motion that you need to take. Take the emotion, set it on fire, get it out of the equation, and just think about the motion you need to take. So I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I could lampoon on what was happening, but it determined to me very quickly, models are false, PCR tests are false, treatments are real, the system and method for testing for COVID-19 was patented in 2015, and then protocols will kill you. Now, I tested my theory, Hagman, by referring all of my friends and family to a website called Sherwood.tv, all of them. Every single time someone comes in, I have COVID. Ah, and I have employees, by the way. They call and say, I think I have COVID. I'm going to die. Ah. And I say, why don't you go to Sherwood.tv? I referred every family member I know to Sherwood.tv. And guess what? Nobody died. It got to a point, Hagman. This is before the Reawaken Tour. I'd referred thousands of people to him. He says, I am so booked up with patients. You need to refer somebody else. So I referred my great friend, Dr. Zelenko, may he rest in peace, to my friend, Dr. Zelenko. Then I began referring my friend, Dr. Rashid Batar, may he rest in peace. Then I began referring Meehan, Dr. Meehan, MeehanMD.com. I was referring all these people, and nobody was dying. Hagman, did you know that there's over 10,000 patients treated by both Meehan and Sherwood with zero deaths? Zero.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yep. And by the way, I'm glad you had an alibi for not being in the White House. Of course, that's really important. But no, you're exactly right. Okay, thank you. Perfect. Continue. Go.
I'm just saying, so if imagine that you and I were in the White House, right, knowing the information that we know, that I've known since the beginning because I was able to do research and because of I'm a business consultant and I'm connected to these doctors in different industries, I was able to figure this out within a week. I mean, before the lockdowns, I knew all this stuff. But I was trying to communicate it to the White House. And guess who was blocking the information? Guess who was in charge of the coronavirus task force? Who was that guy?
I know the answer, but help me with this.
Mike Pence.
Yes, I know.
The guy who certified the fraudulent election turns out was in charge of the COVID. Remember that? The COVID task force?
Yeah.
You had the scarf queen, Fauci. You had Fauci and the scarf queen, Burks. Deborah Burks.
Yep.
You know, and Fauci would get up there and say, the main thing we need to do is we need to mitigate to keep ourselves safe from the spread of the virus. It's very, very dangerous, not super dangerous, but people with comorbidities, there's a risk of an asymptomatic spread, not a tremendous risk, but a measured risk. We need to look at and then every week he would come out and talk in circles. We need to wear a mask. Wearing a mask is very effective. And then the reporter would say, sir, did you say wearing a mask is effective? Well, it's very ineffective. You know, I'm wearing a mask should not be required. It's something we should not require. And then next week, wearing a mask needs to be required. We need to wear a mask. You shouldn't shut down the borders. You should shut down the borders. And you go, what are you doing? And you could almost feel the text messages coming in from Bill Gates going, what am I supposed to say here now? Bill, I've got a press conference in just a second. What do you want me to say to the American people? And then Fauci runs out there. This just in, I know yesterday I said to not mitigate, to stand 6 feet apart, socially distancing, but it's a new term I just created called social distancing. Now we need to socially distance and we need to wear a mask. And people go, but last week you said don't wear a mask. Yeah, that was because I hadn't spoken to my overlords yet. I mean, because the information's still coming in. It's ridiculous. So, and this is the jackassery that Trump was surrounded by.
Exactly. Thank you.
This jackass has been there since the 80s, since Reagan. I mean, this is Fauci's been there since Reagan plotting this nefarious thing with people like Deborah Burke, these fossilized relics of the deep state were forced upon President Trump. And Trump had delegated this to Pence, who we thought was a loyal person. I never liked Mike Pence. I'm sure your listeners didn't either. But the RNC says, President Trump, you should. To help make sure that President Trump has a balanced approach, we need a seasoned politician who claims to pray to Christ. Isn't that what we're looking for? Isn't that what we say?
And yet we're going to have, look, I know this, jackasses who will say, well, you know, that doesn't get them off the hook. For crying out loud, everything you said there makes 100% sense, and I'm glad you laid it out the way you did. And by the way, I love your impressions. I think you missed your calling, but boy,
well,
do I know.
I'll say this. Mike Pence wrote a new book called Go Home for Dinner. Now, did he write that book as sort of an advice for a younger version of himself? Because if you look up Mike Pence and you look into his early history and how he got from here to there, maybe he needed to read the book Go Home for Dinner earlier. I don't know. And now it's at Target and people are going, yeah, Mike Pence, woo, he's awesome. And then people who speak Christianese, your listeners don't do this, but Christianese, let me explain how this works here. Christianese is where you say things that sound good, although you're a nefarious SOB. So Christianese is where you say, well, brother, I tell you what, before we go ahead and do a lockdown, why don't we pray that the Lord will bless us? And I'm not being sacrilegious. I love Jesus. But listen to this. Why don't we pray that the Lord will bless us as we do a lockdown and forsake the gathering of Hebrews 10:25? And as we forsake the idea of Luke chapter 9, where we're supposed to go house to house, laying hands on the sick and casting out devils with our hands, why don't we just rebuke all that and let's just pray that God will bless us as we forsake him and engage in this blasphemous activity? And people, Hagman, they go, oh, I love the way that guy prays. Hagman, could you imagine what it would be like to have Thanksgiving with Mike Pence? It would take a half hour to get through the prayer. It's unbelievable. I mean, this is the sort of Christianese. Mike Pence speaks Christianese. And Christians, not your listeners, but a lot of non-discerning Christians are going, oh, yeah, Rick Warren. I love the way that he wrote Purpose Driven Life and how he's encouraging the World Economic Forum. Oh, T.D. Jakes. I love the way he brought Fauci into his church to push the vaccines. Oh, yeah. Andy Stanley, I love the way he's pushing the LGBTQ agenda. That's awesome. Joel Osteen, I love the idea that he brought up Mariah Carey to sing Hero during Easter during the lockdown. Oh, yeah. So you have these woke churches who speak Christianese, and what they're doing is they're lying to people, and they appear to be not a wolf, but they are a wolf. Perhaps you've heard about this analogy before. So I just encourage everybody out there to understand my relationship with President Donald J. Trump or Eric Trump or Cash Patel, these wonderful people. I don't know President Trump super well. I believe that I consider Eric Trump to be a good friend of mine. And I'm telling you this, Eric Trump, it runs an organization called Trump. You might have heard about it. And there's thousands of employees. It's an $8 billion business. And he's, I mean, how many people out there listening to the show right now have ever managed a team with thousands of employees and managed a payroll for 8 billion people? I mean, for an $8 billion business. Think about this. And that's what Eric Trump is doing all
day. Yeah, I mean, aside from Eric and I, and you, probably not too many.
I'm just saying I manage organizations with hundreds, right? Not thousands.
Right.
And can you imagine what it would be like to be subpoenaed often? And so Eric Trump is one of the most sane people I've ever met. And I would describe him as President Trump's cup bearer. For anybody out there that's familiar with that term, the cup bearer was the guy that, you know, sip on the wine before the king would have it, because theoretically, if there was poison in the wine, the cup bearer would die first, right? That's the kind of trust level you have here. I would consider Eric Trump to be like the cup bearer for President Donald J. Trump. I would consider Peter Navarro to be like the financial advisor for President Trump. I would consider Cash Patel to be a legal advisor. I would consider Alina Habba to be his chief legal spokesperson, because she is. This is Alina Habba. And these are the people that are on the Reawaken America tour. And these are the people that come to these events. And so when your listeners go to timetofreeamerica.com, we do this crazy idea. Your listeners are going to love it. We do a Q&A. Now, Hagman, this will blow your mind. We were in Nashville, Tennessee, and Cash Patel runs up to me and he says, hey, I want to do a Q&A during my 30-minute speaking time. I said, you want to do a Q&A? Are you sure? With these people? Hagman, imagine all of your listeners being at a conference. No BS.
Right.
No, you know what I'm saying? Their BS detector is high. Boop, 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 boop. They can call it. They can smell it. The BS radar. Boop, 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 boop. Imagine an audience of the Hagman Report listeners. Okay, that's the kind of people that are at our crowd. And he says, I want to take my time and do no speaking. I just want to do a Q&A. And I said to him, are you sure? No teleprompters, no sponsors? He said, sure. And you know what the first question was, Hagman? A guy gets up and says, Hey, I'd like to ask Cash. I know that you worked on, and as he was talking in the background, a guy says, "Why'd you push the shot, man? Why'd you push the shot?" And like, Hagman, I bet you half the audience was going, "Yeah, why'd you push the shot?" You know, that kind of thing. And Cash got up there and said what I just said to an audience of people. He said, I was misled and lied to. And so I didn't know the information we were presented was lies. I didn't know. So we did the best thing we thought for the American
people. And there it is. I mean, it's that simple. Look, I as an investigator, okay, I've been misled. Believe it or not, even I can be fooled sometime by some people. So I get that. By the way, Cash Patel, his book, one of the greatest things I've read.
Phenomenal book.
Yeah, and
I just.
Your events are always like top notch, and man, I'll tell you what, I just may meet you there. Although I have
no, you need to. If you can get to there, I promise you, I'll get you a backstage pass. And for anybody out there that wants to know my secret cell phone number, it's on your screen. It's 918-851-0102. You can text me there too. And what I do, people say, how do you keep track of everybody? What I do is I'm just being real. I get about 100 text messages a day from people requesting a ticket or people who have intel or information. I mean, I have people that work up in the NIH texting me information and patents and documents. People always say, Clay, how do you find all this information at timetofreeamerica.com? I have people all over the world called you who text me information, and I'm not an awesome person. I'm not great. I'm not super amazing. I'm just a dude in Tulsa, Oklahoma, trying to save America, who has 5 kids, and I'm committed to doing it. So you can text me there, and you too, Hagman. If you want a backstage pass, I'll make that happen for you. And for any of your listeners who buy a ticket today, they are entered in for a chance to win a backstage pass. We only have now 245 tickets left, and you just text the number 918-851-0102, and you can name your price, and you just may win a backstage pass. It's going to be a blasty blast in Tulare. It's just outside of Fresno. A lot of people say, Clay, I want to come, but I can't afford it. Well, folks, I drive 24 hours to make it to every single event. I stay in a very humble hotel. I never stay in a bougie place unless it's comped. Every once in a while, we'll have a conservative hotel that likes to comp or helps contribute. But I don't stay in bougie places. I contribute for all the losses. Someone says, well, I don't know if I can find the time. I find that we find time for that which matters to us. And right now, we all need to save the Republic. So I encourage people to cap out their, to block time out in their schedule to find the time needed to be there. And then the third thing is, if you want to watch the Reawaken America Tour documentary tonight to get yourself inspired to do what is required, just go to timetofreeamerica.com. It's 100% free. You can download it tonight for free. It features Mike Lindell, General Flynn, Pastor Archer Pulaski. It ages very well because these are guys who 3 years ago told you what was going to happen if we didn't stop this great reset. And as we head into year 3 of the Reawaken America Tour, I think that documentary is very a very powerful tool, which everyone can watch tonight at timetofreeamerica.com.
I love it, folks. You heard that. And I urge everyone to watch that, and please go to timetofreeamerica.com and arrange to get to California, okay, but arrange to get there, to be among these people, the patriots, the people who are going to, if anyone can save America, the Republic, it's you folks. I believe that, and the people by which you surround yourself. I got to ask you this. Okay. This is sure. the last question I'll ask you off script. We didn't talk beforehand. It's my understanding. You're pretty hip on Vivek Ramaswamy.
Yeah, absolutely. If you go to timetofreeamerica.com, I have a button called Vivek Ramaswamy. And I'm going to hammer this because Ramaswamy is somebody who is saying the things that we want to hear. Okay. He's saying the things that we want to hear. And the problem with that is that if we want to hear these things and he says those things, then we start to think, oh, man, I like the way this guy sounds. I like what he's saying. He's speaking my language. But let me just tell you about him real quick here. I'm going to go rapid fire through my list here. And he was born on August 9th, 1985. And 19 facts you need to know about him. Okay. Fact number one, he's 38 years old and he started a company called Roivant. And the company Roivant that he started has never made money. It's predicted to lose $1 billion this year. It lost $1.12 billion in 2022. It lost $698 million in 2021. It lost $433 million in 2020. What? Fact number 20, Vivek, he actually took his company Roivant, and he teamed up with Pfizer recently in 2023 to roll out a new technology that merges AI and medicine. What? Like AI in a pill form? AI and a pill for? Okay, let's keep going. Fact number 19, 2023, Vivek, his company, he wants to sell this experimental drug. Look into it, folks. It's going to blow your mind. I put a link there so people can see it. 2022, Roivant and Pfizer again. You know, the guys pushing the RNA modifying nanotechnology shots. You know, Klaus Schwab's best friend there, Albert Bourla of Pfizer. Yeah, yeah, that's who Vivek has teamed up with. As but folks, that's in the past, 2022. Okay, age 37, 2022. His company is listed as a listen to this, Vivek Ramaswamy's Roivant is listed and has subsidiary companies in China, according to SEC filings. Fact number 16, 2022, but that's in the past. He was 37 years old 2 years ago. Roivant and Pfizer form a new company called Vant AI. You need to look this up, folks. This is wild. We're talking about AI in a pill form. Let's continue. Age 36, Roivant grows a computational drug discovery engine with the acquisition of Silicon Therapeutics, which is merging AI in a pill form called Vant AI. Don't believe me. Look it up. Vivek, then, he says he has a $950 million net worth at the age of 36, but his company's never made money. Interesting. Age 36. To state the obvious, Vivek writes, we should aim to safely vaccinate everyone. Okay. And we continue. In 2020, Vivek says wearing a mask equals personal responsibility. It's puzzling when conservatives oppose it. Vivek, this is 2018. This time he launches a Beijing-based biotech company. What? Folks, look this up. Age 33, his company teams up with an organization called Artibus that rolls out this RNA-focused biotech, you know, the RNA-modifying nanotechnology that changes what it means to be human. Yeah, yeah, he's involved in that. But if we go back to the very beginning for sake of time, did you know that Vivek wrote his senior thesis advocating for the creation of human-animal chimeras, you know, where you merge animals with humans? And the only other guy that I know that's a big fan of that is Yuval Noah Harari. Did you know that his college was paid for by Paul and Daisy Soros, you know, like George Soros' brother? What? I mean, I can really go on and on. He claims that he had a $15 million net worth at the age of 28. Well, if you have a $15 million net worth, how is it possible that you have a $15 million net worth when you claim that you only paid a very, very, very small amount of taxes on the sale of the company? So you say, what company did you sell? Yeah. Because how is it possible that you have a net worth of $15 million if you sold a company? What company did you sell? And you look into it and you go, wait a minute, the company that you claimed to sell, you didn't pay the taxes that would equal, wait a minute. And you just, I want people to look into this idea, his entire origin story of what he did to become a very successful entrepreneur. That doesn't make sense. Just the math right there of how he achieved his net worth doesn't make any sense. And I just encourage everybody to look this up, because again, it's like, you know, if you're just good at basic math, you go, your origin story doesn't make any sense. And that's why we trust the guy, right? Because he's a successful entrepreneur, but yet how did you make your money? And it really is hard to figure that out quite a bit there, folks. I encourage everyone to look into that, because the idea of why he's credible is he's supposed to be a guy who built a successful entrepreneur ship business. He had a lot of success as an entrepreneur. But if you just look into his net worth and where it came from, he's saying that he had a $15 million net worth before graduating from law school. Well, what company did you sell then? You know, what is the name of that business that you had that allowed you to do that? He claims he had a company called studentbusinesses.com that he sold, studentbusinesses.com. But if you look at the amount of capital gains taxes he paid on that, it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, I have to say this. When I saw your investigative findings on this gentleman, I had to ask because I knew you had the receipts. No further questions, Your Honor. Okay. That's fantastic. That's incredible. Folks, that is the kind of information, in addition to the inspiration at Time to Free America, the events, the conference that's coming up. This is going to be December 15th and 16th in California, Tulane, California. There it is right there. Right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And I just encourage everybody out there to, you know, assume that I've lost my mind, assume I'm making things up. Just go to timetofreeamerica.com. You can see all the confirmed speakers. It really is a fabulous event. Also on timetofreeamerica.com, we have the truth about election fraud, medical fraud, religious fraud, monetary fraud, mainstream media fraud.
Yep.
It's all listed right there. And you can find all of that right there at timetofreeamerica.com. All the facts related to the Great Reset, they're all right there. You can watch the documentary for free at timetofreeamerica.com, and you can request your tickets again at timetofreeamerica.com. All right there.
You know what? I have so much respect for you. I really do. And I appreciate all that you do in deference of your schedule and your time. And by the way, whatever happened this morning, I certainly apologize in terms of whoever is coming after you. But we have that. We're used to it and we're fighters and we will prevail. And I know you will as well. But you will be in our prayers. And I ask every member of our audience to pray for you. To pray for the success. What's that? Did you say Eric the Tech? Okay, I thought Eric the Tech had said something to me. But I appreciate you so much. Any final thoughts, sir, before you depart?
No, I would just say everything that we talked about on today's show, I like to cite my sources. So if you want to learn the truth about election fraud or medical fraud or religious fraud, I mean, when these speakers speak, I take notes and I document and I organize it all very succinctly in a nice way that you can understand. So if you want to go down the rabbit hole of understanding what's inside the RNA modifying nanotechnology shots, timetofreeamerica.com. You want to know who Elon Musk is and his origin story? Timetofreeamerica.com. You want to know what's in the shots? Right there. Election fraud, how it happened, timetofreeamerica.com. You want to know about all this information is all archived, almost like I hate to use the word Wikipedia, but it's almost like an encyclopedia and or a Wikipedia of all of the things related to the Great Reset, all right there at timetofreeamerica.com. It's a free resource that many, many of the most well-known people leading the freedom movement, they go to every day.
Yeah, I mean, it's show prep for me. I didn't want to say that out loud, but I did. No, I'm kidding. It's absolutely critical information everyone needs to know. Clay Clark, timetofreeamerica.com. Thank you so much. May God bless you, keep you safe. And you know what? I have a feeling I will see you. Although I promise I'd never go to California, I will see you. I do believe on the West Coast. We'll talk, though.
Thank you, brother. Have a great day.
All right. God bless. Thank you, sir. That was Clay Clark, timetofreeamerica.com. An amazing man. You know, look, you may think that why is President Trump doing this or doing that? There was a comment on yesterday's show. Eric the Tech, I got to tell you this. There was a comment on yesterday's show, and I'm not going to pull it up right now. I think, it was with John Moore and Randy Taylor. The question was, why are you morons? And I'm paraphrasing. Still behind President Trump because he's pushing the shots and all of that. Here's my question. Given the hand that we are dealt, I can't talk as fast as Clay Clark, nor do I want to. But given the hand we're dealt, given the people out there who are the people that have the ability to become president of the United States, who would you vote for? If assuming your vote counts, assuming a free and fair election, which we're not, we can't assume that. But who would you vote for aside from President Donald Trump? I'm just asking. Christy? Vivek? You heard Vivek? Eric the Tech.
I'd say Vivek's the biggest threat to Trump.
You know, and
Because he speaks like Trump.
Exactly. And did look, neurolinguistics, okay, for continuing education credits as an investigator to, well, you can select forensic courses, including neurolinguistic, neurolinguistics, period, okay, for example. And if you watch very carefully Vivek, or even early, the early DeSantis 1.0 in his early movement toward the nomination, you'll see exactly what is being referenced here. And I've got to say this, Eric the Tech, you know, he is probably one of the biggest, and I have to give him all of the credit here. He's probably one of the biggest unsung heroes of this platform. He knows where to find information, how to find it, and what to do with it. He is an ace investigator. Now, I don't want to make this sound like this, you know, bromance, okay? Because it's not. He's my son-in-law.
Bromance.
Bromance, yeah. But you know, there are things that come naturally to certain people. His investigative talents really are second to none. I've never seen a man who is able to zero in on something and be correct on something. And the expose on Vivek, he can add to that, and he could probably speak to that all day long. But anyway, that's so. Anyway,
we work good together.
Yeah, we do. We do. He's
I play a really good bad cop.
Believe it or not. Which is why his face is not on television, because he's wanted in 6 states. I'm kidding. But he can actually get the... I've seen him do some incredible stuff with people who are suspected of doing things, and you know, they'll leave in tears, okay, or they're taken away in tears. And Eric probably says like 6 words, and but he brings the receipts. So kudos, Eric the Tech. All right. Before Liz Crokin comes on, and we are scheduled to have her on at the bottom of this hour, I just want to talk to you about a couple of things. There was an article at American Thinker titled Waves of Invasion. Okay, one of the big issues. Look, I get the injections. I understand that. And I think most people, hopefully most people understand that. But, and I'm working currently, presently I'm working on an investigative article on my website, HagmanPI.com. And the article is going to be titled Exhibit A, The Panic of the U.S. Communist Left Over President Trump's White House Return as Displayed by The Atlantic. Now, say what you want about President Donald Trump. Say what you want about his failings, about his all of the bad stuff. I get that. Look, I understand that. But one thing I have never seen in my decades long of voting, of looking at candidates, of being in politics, is the vicious attack and the scare tactics that are being used by the left against President Trump. I want everyone to know right now, and I think it's pretty obvious, that America has been fully captured since November of 2020. Fully captured. I used to say America is a captured operation. And that capture was progressing with the years. Under President Trump, and this is, a lot of people don't know this, but President Trump attempted to get rid of the SES, or the permanent bureaucratic employees, the Schedule F employees. He attempted to do that. He received just a lot of heat from Congress. He did sign an executive order, which was immediately overturned by Mr. Potato Head. But what I saw just recently, there was an article in The Atlantic. Now, on the digital side of The Atlantic, it's an article in progress. There are 10 authors. And I'm not 100% sure. Well, it has something to do with, if Donald Trump becomes the next president, there will be an apocalypse because of his being in the White House. So I'm looking at this, and I think so far out of the 10 authors, maybe 5-6 authors have contributed. Yeah, that's The Atlantic. If Trump wins. Yes. Yes. Okay, those are the current series of articles. Now, there's more coming. There's not 10 there, are there? 2, 4, 5. Okay, so a couple more are incoming. But they're broken down into different areas of interest, okay? This, the Atlantic, but by the way, the Atlantic Media Company, the Atlantic Monthly, the Atlantic Rag has been around since 1870, I believe, 1871. That's really not important. But they really went off the rails in supporting Barack Hussein, Barry Satoru, Obama. Okay. I'm telling you, when you look back at their history,
women would once again be targets.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And each one of these articles by these authors, in my based on my perspective, is an exhibit of the panic of these authors who are left, and again, this is my personal view, left of Stalin, that if President Trump gets in office, man, it's going to be the end of the world and the civilization as we know it. As a matter of fact, it will be so authoritarian that we will not be free. And as I looked at this, things are going through my head, because I went through every article so far. Now, that's not nice for you to put up a picture of my sister on the website or on the screen.
I just picture all the people screaming.
Eric the Tech, can you imagine what this will look like, the left will look like, if and when President Trump wins the nomination or wins the presidency?
I can't wait to see it.
I'm going to tell you, I mean this, you're going to hear screams, you're going to hear sounds that are subhuman sounds from people that you never think could make such sounds. I believe that.
But also, you think we're in a battle now?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because what we have right now, running the country as a captured operation, are avowed Marxists, Maoists, Fabian socialists, in addition to racists, sexual deviants, human and child sex slave traffickers, and nearly every flavor of anti-constitutional republic form of governance in office right now. Right, and people look at Biden and they extol this elder statesmanship label to Biden. And I'm looking at him And I know you are too. Biden is not now, nor has he ever been, intelligent. We showed you, I think it was last week or yes, I don't know when it was, the media, the news footage from 1988 when he was running for president, when every sentence out of his mouth was a lie. His, from graduating school to his grades to, I mean, you name it, it was a lie. He was caught in lies. And you know, the media actually went after him for that. Now that very same media is supporting him and saying, oh, all of this other stuff, it's all conspiracy. It's all nonsense. It's untrue. They are very forgiving with respect to his cognitive impairment, the lack of proper synapse working, you know, firing. Biden, again, not now, not then, not intelligent. Compromised, yes. Intelligent, no. He certainly does not appear cognitively capable. And hey, let's think about this yourself. Of constructing or even overseeing currently this extensive operation of the capturing of this country. Do you agree or disagree, ladies and gentlemen? Do you think that this man is capable of putting together a team of these Maoist, Marxist, Fabian socialists, this, and pushing this ideology forward, but most importantly, making it work? No. No, I don't believe that to be, I don't believe that at all. Joseph Robinette Biden is simply a tool, a puppet, a sack of skin or a skin just full of meat and mush. He's a true Shakespearean tragedy when you look at his life. But it's of his own making. He is a confused and abused elder. He's propped up by his personal handler, Dr. Jill Biden, and directed by the occasional Easter Bunny. That's right. Which live video would you like? Which one? Which one was that? Okay. I think that's a good idea because people miss this. I want you to see this live video from the 80s. It's a few minutes long, but it's important for people to understand because this is why the left is panicking, because of this, the not just because of this, but this and the current mental status and the everything that's taking place right now on top of this. But this really establishes the base. Here it is.
Democratic presidential candidate Joseph Biden today faces a controversy. 3 weeks ago at a debate at the Iowa State Fair, he used phrases identical to those delivered by British Labour Party leader Neil Kinnock.
Biden seemed to be claiming Kinnock's vision and life as his own.
Why is it that my wife, who's sitting out there in the audience, is the first in her family to ever go to college?
Why is Gladys the first woman in her family in a thousand generations to be able to get the university?
My ancestors who worked in the coal mines in northeast Pennsylvania and come up after 12 hours and play football.
8 hours underground and then come up and play football.
It's because they didn't have a platform upon which to stand.
There was no platform upon which they could stand.
The notion that every thought or notion or idea you'd have to go back and find and attribute to someone, I think is, quite frankly, ludicrous.
The problem here is that Senator Biden told his audience he'd just been thinking about these things, and he failed to give any credit at all to his famous British speechwriter.
You know, I was thinking on the way over here. Now, that's a little too much, because, as you point out, what's behind the words? What's there? And a lot of people, the rap on Biden has always been that it's just a surface.
I should have said,
To paraphrase Neil Kinnock, it's the only time I didn't, in all the times I've ever used it.
But CBS News found a tape of a second instance.
It reappeared in the New York Times with a new charge, that Biden had appropriated a famous litany from the late Robert Kennedy about what the gross national product cannot measure.
It cannot measure the health of our children.
The health of our children.
The quality of our education.
The quality of their education.
The joy of their play.
Or the joy of their play.
Biden gave Kennedy no credit. He has also quoted or paraphrased John Kennedy, Hubert Humphrey, and British Labour Party leader Neil Kinnock, all without credit.
Joseph Biden admitted today that he committed plagiarism when he was in law school. He said it was a mistake, but that it was unintentional.
He quoted 5 pages of someone else's work without proper citation.
I've done some dumb things, and I'll do dumb things again.
He was given an F.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I've been dumb.
To the political community in Washington, it all seems of a piece. Plagiarism at law school, plagiarism on the stump.
The great communicator. Strike that. The great imitator.
You don't steal verbatim, or when you do, as he did 99% of the time, you give credit.
Biden's critics say he sells himself as a man whose words and visions can inspire a new generation in politics. But if the thoughts, phrases, and visions really belong to others, it's a form of false advertising.
Is it a wise idea, though, to take something that personal, anyway, from another politician and try and appropriate it to your own campaign?
I think it was a stupid thing to appropriate material that was really very personal, that was someone else's.
Most people didn't know who he was, you know, Joe Biden, and now they're going to say, oh, yeah, he's the guy who plagiarized.
That's a lot
of
people.
First. Politically, that's devastating. These clips are devastating. He looks like a Joe Biden wind-up doll with somebody else's words coming out.
If they're going to do things that are stupid as well as immoral, then they're probably too dumb to have the job of president.
Voters are going to have to decide whether he was dishonest or dumb.
Senator Joseph Biden may have more explaining to do.
The new questions stem from with taped remarks of Biden States. During an April campaign appearance in New Hampshire.
I went to law school on a full academic scholarship, the only one in my class to have a full academic scholarship. Went back to law school and, in fact, ended up in the top half of my class. I was the outstanding student in the political science department at the end of my year. I graduated with 3 degrees from undergraduate school and 165 credits, only needed 123 credits.
Biden now concedes he did not graduate in the top half of his law school class, that he does not have 3 degrees from college, and that he was not named outstanding political science student in college.
Newsweek says Biden actually went to school on a half scholarship, ended up near the bottom of his class, and won only 1 degree, not 3.
Joe Biden ranked 76th in a class of 85 at the University of Syracuse Law School. I mean, this guy comes off this whole thing as a flyweight.
Now Biden says Newsweek is right. His memory had failed him.
And I'd be delighted to sit down and compare my IQ to yours if you'd like, Frank.
Joe Biden was victimized by the truth.
Bye-bye Biden. He may not know it yet, but I think this is going to be very difficult for him to recover.
Is Joe Biden dead meat, yes or no?
I think so.
Bob.
In terminal condition.
Terminal. Eleanor.
Yes, unless he comes in third in Iowa.
Morton.
Dying.
I say dead. We'll be right back.
You know, you gotta love that. Okay, I love the 80s shoulder pads, hairstyles. I mean, my goodness. Eric the Tech.
Couldn't have guessed you love that.
I'm telling you, man. The only thing missing there is Hunter, of course, he was too young, snorting a couple of lines of blow off the back of a DeLorean, I guess. But anyway.
President Biden, the wind-up doll.
Man, you know something? And isn't it interesting some of the wording there used that even describes him today, aside from the liar and all that, but the fact that, you know, he's a wind-up puppet. My goodness, what do we see today? Now, I'm going to very quickly segue. This, I want to remind people, folks, look, as I said earlier, and by the way, I'll address waves of invasion another time, but I want to remind people back in 2016 when Liz Crokin was on this show, and by the way, I have been personally threatened never to allow her back again. I'm telling you right now. You say, well, by who? What do you mean? I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm not going to name any names, but I've been personally threatened by this.
I'm saying this in a good way.
Yeah, what's that?
She helped us get banned on YouTube.
Yes, she did. Oh, yeah. And you know, boy, that's a whole big story there. We made a lot of money for YouTube. We didn't see much. We didn't see any of it, but we made a boatload of money. But see, to them, when you're looking at the Marxist Maoist ideology, that captured operation, they've got to take control of the narrative, which they did. But I want you to watch this. This is a 2-minute segment by Ben Swan. You remember this. I know you do. This is about Pizzagate. And by the way, to the couple of to the reporters of the Rolling Stone that were in my office, that really kind of stunk up my office, okay, put this in your, well, folks, watch this.
An unclassified FBI document. That document, according to the FBI, contains commonly used symbols by pedophiles to express their preference in children. I want you to see these images here. These are the images. Notice this one on the end, the triangle. That image signifies something called boy love. The pizza place next door to Comet Ping Pong Pizza, Besta Pizza, well, this was their logo until only a few weeks ago. Clearly, you can see that the Besta logo actually contains the same image, I'm going to show you again, as that boy lover image. Interestingly, after Pizzagate investigators pointed this out, Besta Pizza changed their logo, and there it is now. They've removed the triangle. Also, Comet Ping Pong, owned by Alphantis, is the place where a number of performance artists perform regularly. Two of the groups that perform there, who you can see advertised, by the way, on this Comet Ping Pong poster, include a group called Heavy Breathing and another group called Sex Stains. Well, if you check out the YouTube videos by these bands,
they're on my
Heavy
playlist.
Breathing has songs that do joke about pedophilia. And the band Sex Stains has a video that includes, and you see it right there, that same boy lover symbol. It's nearly identical to the one that the FBI does say is a pedophile code symbol for boy love. As I said, there are some strange things there. As for the owner of the pizza place, James Alphantis, well, he was one time in a relationship with David Brock, who ran Media Matters for America. Well, since Pizzagate began to blow up online, he has made his Instagram profile, Jimmy Comet, private. But an archive search of Instagram reveals a number of strange photographs and words with strange and disturbing images associated with them. Look, to the point where we can't show you those pictures. We're not even going to describe them to you because some viewers would find it too disturbing to share on TV. Now let's talk about the Podesta brothers, because remember, it was John Podesta's email that was hacked. In those leaked Podesta emails, John Podesta talks about his close relationship with Dennis Hastert, the former Speaker of the House, who was recently sentenced to 15 months in prison for abusing boys years ago. He was referred to by the judge as a serial child molester. According to the Washington Post, visitors to Tony Podesta's home in...
All right. And folks, you can go to HagmanPI.com and find the source material there. But, you know, I am so, really, I'm so honored. I'm so pleased. A young lady who I believe has done more for the exposure of things, especially right now, of the murder of Seth Rich, the fact that the FBI, as you saw there, confirming pizza is a code for pedophilia activities. Elon Musk currently shedding some light on Pizzagate. All of the pedophile journalists who have been charged, arrested, not convicted, but arrested, who worked for organizations who covered up Pizzagate directly or indirectly. These are the things that Liz Crokin was first on, okay? And again, I remember when my son and I were doing the program when he was alive, and you know, we would speak about Liz Crokin. To me, Liz Crokin is the embodiment of a true investigative journalist, someone who, folks, I cannot speak highly enough about her, and I ask a couple of things before I bring her on. number one, you keep her in your prayers, because she is one of the most sniped at, one of the most, we would take a day to tell you the stuff that she has to deal with daily, the stuff that she has dealt with, the death threats, the horrific stuff that I know about. I'm just not going to say any more than that. These people are sick, they're perverted, and they need to hang. Those are my words, okay? But Liz Crokin is somebody I admire. And, you know, if she was my daughter, I would be so proud. I know that she's young enough to be my daughter, but I'm so proud of her, and I'm so proud of all that she has done. Liz Crokin, thank you. I know you're super busy. Thank you for allowing me to introduce you in that fashion. Thanks for coming on.
Hi, Doug. Well, thank you so much for such a warm, beautiful introduction. That was very beautiful. I greatly appreciate
it. You know, Eric and I were talking. My goodness, you are like the number one on all of these topics back in 2016. And folks, you can go to Time to Free America. Did I get that right? Yeah, timetofreeamerica.com and watch Liz's interview. But and I'll put a link up there. But you have done so much, so much to expose things. And I'm going to just let you go wherever you think you want to start. And I, by the way, I believe I can't prove it, but I believe that you were behind in some way, shape, or form this decision to have the Seth Rich materials, the laptop, and such. Perhaps such as they are, become open to the public. So thank you for that.
I would love to think that my reporting and then all the jobs I was fired from for reporting the truth may have had an impact, but no, it certainly has. And well, let me just start off with, because it's on the tip of my head. We'll get into Seth Rich and WikiLeaks and all the disclosure that's coming down, hopefully knock on wood with that. But you mentioned how there's multiple reporters that have been arrested for crimes against children who either directly debunked Pizzagate and or worked for organizations, media organizations that have hysterically told you that Pizzagate is a conspiracy theory and Pizzagate is a hoax or not real for years. So recently, this year, there's been two notable arrests of two pretty big people that worked for media. One was an ABC reporter, and his name is James Gordon Meek. The other was a man named Slate Summer. He was an editor at The Recount. They both had pretty powerful jobs at these big media organizations. Now, both ABC and The Recount have told you for years that Pizzagate is fake, it's a hoax. They've lied about it. There's been people on social media that have tried to say that James Gordon Meek never debunked Pizzagate. That's not true. That's a lie. I found at least one story that his name was on as a byline where he, within the story, it said that Pizzagate is a debunked conspiracy theory. So he did debunk it. And I also want to add that a lot of these journalists that are getting arrested for pedophilia-related crimes that worked for news organizations that debunked Pizzagate or claimed to debunk Pizzagate, a lot of these journalists just mysteriously, information on them is being scrubbed. So whether it's their social media pages or stories they've written. So I wouldn't be surprised if some of these journalists have had more of an online footprint where they've denied Pizzagate. But so we have the ABC journalist and the Recount editor. They both were arrested this year for crimes against children. Possessing porn, and I believe both of them were arrested also for trying to rape children and yeah, at least try to rape children. Sorry, all these cases, there's so many, it gets confusing. But okay, so there's that. But you said that there's been some reporters that haven't been convicted yet. That's not true, actually. So if we go back and look, for example, at CNN's John Griffin, he was Chris Cuomo's top producer, okay? So he was his main longtime producer. He was arrested a few years ago, and then he was sentenced, I believe, this year recently. He did plead guilty on at least one of the charges. He was accused of molesting very young children in his Vermont ski home. Now, how does this relate to Pizzagate? Well, CNN has been claiming Pizzagate's fake, it's not real, hysterically, for years now. But it's even more notable because this was the main producer for Chris Cuomo. And Chris Cuomo was the media personality that told you in 2016 when the Podesta emails came out that you are not allowed to obtain these emails. You cannot read them. If you do, you might get arrested. It's illegal. That was a lie. He said that so you wouldn't read the Podesta emails. The Podesta emails are littered with the pedophile code words, including pizza, in a context that clearly does not apply to food. They know that those emails are so damning. So people like Chris Cuomo had to lie and say it's illegal for you to read these emails. So don't read them. Anything that you're going to learn about these emails, he literally said, you're going to learn from us. So he actively was covering up Pizzagate, lied about it in his reporting, and then threatened his viewers by saying, hey, you might get arrested, basically, if you try to read these emails. That was a lie. And guess what? One of his top producers pled guilty for child sex crimes. He was raping children in his multi-million-dollar Vermont ski home for years.
I remember the warning by Cuomo. And thank you for correcting me on that.
And yeah.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, that's really, I mean, that's shitty and nefarious and just horrible. Okay. Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, and like there was this other reporter who was a tech reporter. His name's Peter Bright. He's been convicted as well. He mocked Pizzagate online. He said that pizza's not a pedophile code word on his Twitter. Guess what his Twitter handle was? Dr. Pizza. He literally went by the name Dr. Pizza for years. And then he said on Twitter, now X, the tweet's still up, you know, something along the lines of, you know, pizza's not a pedophile code words, like pedos wouldn't want to announce who they are. And then next thing you know, the guy's getting arrested for child sex crimes and he's sitting in jail now. And so, you know, and there's been others at CNN. So there's been a bunch. And so when people don't understand why the media is lying to you about Pizzagate, it's because there are people in the media that are pedophiles and they are part of Pizzagate. They are part of the networks of these elites that are involved in the rape, torture, and trafficking children. We have case after case after case after case now of high-level media journalists and or producers who have been arrested for pedophilia, whether it's child porn, child rape, or both. And they were all part of news organizations that told you Pizzagate is not real.
Yeah. Yeah. I look, I've been on the receiving end of that. You, however, have been on the receiving end much more than that. And I think, Liz, it's difficult for the average person or the person of average sensibilities to really wrap their mind around the horrendous nature. Because, look, I look at you, I look at what you've been doing, what you've been uncovering, and you see things that really haunt your soul. I've used that phrase before, and I'm sure you feel the same way. But
Right.
It's wow. It's beyond anything that I've ever encountered before, and it's absolutely just horrendous. So, okay, having said that, and by the way, folks, we're talking with Liz Crokin, LizCrokin.net. That's her website. Am I correct on that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And you're on from there, by the way. You can follow her on Rumble, on Gab, on True. So, I mean, everywhere. And I would urge you to do that. And this, the last thing, and I failed to do this earlier. Folks, I ask you this. Please support, to the best of your ability, Liz Crokin, however that may be. There are only a few organizations and people I say please dig deep and support monetarily, practically, however, along with prayer, but with money. And Liz Crokin is one of them. And I ask from the bottom of my heart that you do that, especially because she's under fire all of the time. I didn't mean to take away from your time, but I wanted to make sure I got that in.
Thank you so much. Do you want to talk a little bit about Seth Rich, or do we have time?
We have as much time as you can allow me. Go ahead.
So it came out that a judge has ordered that the FBI release materials related to Seth Rich.
Yep.
And the judge ordered that a laptop, a CD, and some other devices have to be released by the FBI. So long story short, the FBI has denied that they've had any evidence on Seth Rich for years. And I guess we can start with who is Seth Rich. Back in 2016, WikiLeaks released the Podesta emails and the DNC emails. The Podesta emails revealed that John Podesta, Hillary Clinton, and associates were using pedophile code words, and that's how Pizzagate was birthed, right? When these emails were released, Hillary Clinton and her machine, they had to do damage control on, number one, all the truth that was coming out within these emails, but also they had to do damage control on where these emails came from. So what they did is they came up with the Russian hoax, and they blamed it on Russia. And, you know, they claimed it was Russia. And then they tried to bring Trump into it to try to get him out of office. And they just created this whole lie. And the reason why I believe that they completely lied, not just about what the emails were exposing, of course, but about how the emails got to WikiLeaks, is because Seth Rich was murdered in 2016. And based off of my investigations, it's my strong belief that he not only was the person who leaked the emails to Julian Assange, it was in Russia and it wasn't a hack. He was the person that leaked them to Julian Assange. And I believe that they figured that out. And once they figured that out, they had to murder him. And I investigated his murder, and there were so many red flags with that case. I did multiple investigative pieces on his murder back in 2016 and 2017. And things as simple as the DC police did not even do a proper investigation into his murder. So, for example, the night that Seth Rich was murdered, he went to a bar and he was murdered on a street, allegedly as he was walking home that night. And they claimed it was an attempted robbery, which makes no sense because nothing was stolen and it didn't have any of the markers of a robbery. It had the markers of a hit.
Okay, but now before you get too far into this, I just want to make sure people understand. You have Seth Rich working for the DNC, a Bernie bro, fully behind Bernie Sanders, understanding that there were shenanigans within the organization. So what he did, ostensibly did was download the information, physically download. It wasn't a hack. It was a transfer of data. And okay, so just so we know Rich's position. And then somehow, in some fashion, was able to give to, transfer, or otherwise make available to WikiLeaks the information he took down. And by the way, 35 years plus as an investigator, homicide investigation is one of my specialties. I went through the what you're talking about, and none of this crap made any sense to me whatsoever. So he was walking home from a bar, shot twice, I believe, taken to a local hospital where he perished, supposedly. At least that's the narrative at the hospital. But go ahead and pick up. I just wanted to kind of catch the audience up. Go ahead.
Yeah. And so, and back to the Bernie Sanders, you know, back then they rigged everything against Bernie, and he was a diehard Bernie Sanders fan and very patriotic. And the belief is that he knew they were rigging it against Bernie. And then he found out about all the criminal activity that they were involved in. So he was pissed about what they did to Bernie, and then uncovered the criminal activity that they were involved in by accessing their emails, including raping and trafficking children. And so I believe that is why he was motivated to expose them. So he did. And again, this is not just my opinion. Many people that have investigated this case, including Tucker Carlson himself, strongly believe that it was Seth Rich that was the person that, you know, leaked this. And they can't acknowledge that because their whole collusion hoax that they used in an attempt to commit a coup on President Trump was based off of the Russian lie. So if the truth about Seth Rich came out, then that whole hoax that they created to destroy Trump and Putin would fail. So they had to keep this. They had to cover this up, right? And so they did. And so back in 2016, 2017, you know, I'm investigating this case. They didn't even do an investigation. The DC cops, they did not even interview the people that last saw and spoke to Seth Rich. So he was at a bar that night and then leaves. And then, you know, shortly after, he's murdered, and no investigator, no cops went into the bar and said, hey, did you see him? Was like, what was going on? Was he being followed? Anything strange happened? What did he say? Did they pull like video surveillance? Nothing. They didn't even properly investigate the case. So I covered this, and I got fired from one job for exposing too much truth about his murder and how they failed to investigate the case. And then if you remember, you know, Sean Hannity was attempting to expose this as well. And then he got in trouble for exposing or just covering Seth Rich. It was like Pizzagate and Seth Rich were the two stories that you were not allowed to cover. And if you dared to cover either of those stories, you were gone. You're fired. So that happened back in 2017 when I was covering all of this, you know, and you were talking about how he went to the hospital. Well, when he was in the hospital, he was in stable condition. You know, he was fine. He was talking. He was in stable condition. And next thing you know, he's dead. And so, like, I mean, there's so many things about this whole case that don't add up. So again, now we have the FBI for years lying, saying that they didn't have any evidence of Seth Rich's, you know, for years. Now, all of a sudden, the FBI is being forced to turn over this evidence, which should come out next week. And if Seth wasn't involved in WikiLeaks or leaking the DNC or the Podesta emails, there'd be no reason to lie about whether or not they have his laptops or not.
Exactly.
So why would they, you know, like, why would they lie about that for years if he really just, you know, was the victim of a random robbery where nothing was stolen? It makes no sense.
Before you go on, I do have a question I need to ask you directly. Mm-hmm. Based on your research and investigation, at the hospital before Rich succumbed to his injuries, were in fact Brazil, Donna Brazile, and Muriel Bowser, the head of or the mayor of D.C., along with Donna Brazile, were they present there as stated, or is the jury still out on that?
I'm not. I haven't been able to confirm that. Okay. I don't remember that. She definitely had very strange behavior after that whole thing went down.
Right.
And she even implied some things that made me think that she was being threatened. And that she was actually scared. So I do think that she knows a lot more than she's let on, especially in terms of Seth Rich being the leaker. I'm not sure if she's at the hospital. I think it's possible. But there was one interview she did a while back where she said something that it was strongly implied that she had been threatened or something.
Okay.
I have to go back and look, but yeah. So Seth Rich, you know, he gave his life to get this truth out there. He was murdered. There was a massive cover up, and we never would have learned about Pizzagate if it wasn't for Seth Rich and Julian Assange.
Correct.
So, you know, this is a really huge story. And the fact that this evidence is coming out during a time where we have all these reporters that lied to us and gaslighted everyone and said Pizzagate's not real. We have all these reporters that like lied about Pizzagate getting arrested for pedophilia. And we have Elon Musk now talking about Pizzagate, putting a major laser pointer on it. And now we also have evidence coming out that's going to prove what really happened with Seth Rich and if he was indeed the leaker. So it's all kind of coming to a head now. Everything that I've been reporting for 7 years is finally coming out, and there's so many pieces to this puzzle, but they're coming together, and it's getting to the point where, you know, I fully understand that Pizzagate is very hard for people to comprehend. It's horrific. It's just a normal person can't process how anyone could hurt a child. But we're at the point where there's so much overwhelming evidence to prove that it's real that no one can deny it anymore. Like even the mainstream media is going to have to acknowledge this. There's no denying this anymore, because there's going to continue to be more and more arrests with people in media and in high profile positions that are involved in Pizzagate. And it's already happening. So it's going to continue to happen. And then when the Seth Rich stuff comes out, I just think this is going to blow wide open.
Do you think that the information that the FBI is being compelled to turn over will be, number one, complete? Will be complete. In other words, are they going to be playing games with us, do you think? Or do you think that they're at a point now where they're backed into a corner and have to turn this information over? Because they know people like you are looking.
Yeah. I think that they'll probably play games. I mean, they already are playing games with this judge. They try to get this information under lock and key for the next 66 years. Like they requested that this evidence remain sealed for 66 more years. So again, why? Like, why would they 66 years? Everyone's going to be dead by then. So why would they even, again, if there's nothing to see here, why would they even care? I imagine that, you know, that they will still do what they possibly can to prevent this from coming out, or maybe it'll be ridiculously redacted, or, you know, maybe they'll wipe it clean with a cloth like Hillary Clinton did with her servers. I don't know. But what I do know that it's God's will for all this information to come out. And so whether it's through the FBI and this court case, or Julian Assange, who just met with Tucker Carlson, and I believe that they did an interview. I believe we'll be hearing from Julian Assange himself soon. Or I do also believe that there's probably people who are good people in law enforcement, whether it's FBI or a police department or somewhere higher up, that's probably actually mirrored the evidence on his laptop. So even if they try to wipe everything, redact everything, or whatever, throw it into the ocean, it doesn't matter, because this storm is not stopping. There's nothing going to stop this information from coming out. If it doesn't come out through this court case, it'll come out some other way. And there are a lot of cases that are sealed, that are happening behind closed doors, that people don't know about, that are occurring as well. And I think that when those cases get unsealed, that's going to shed a light on a lot more crimes committed by the deep state, including crimes related to Pizzagate and potentially Seth Rich.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I believe that as well. I think that we are, how can I put this? I think what was in stasis for a couple of years is now gaining additional traction. And by the way, what a great photograph of you and President Trump. You were giving a presentation.
Oh, thank you.
I love that photograph. If we can find it, we'll put it up. But you were giving a presentation in Florida, and President Trump had actually stayed for a period until you were done, and then met you or came on stage with you.
And
now that says a lot about the man, but it says even more about you. And I want to congratulate you for
thank
that.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Well, in my opinion, I gave a speech about Pizzagate, and as I was wrapping my speech, he's walking downstairs on stage, and it was at Mar-a-Lago. I didn't know if he would stop by and say hi. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. But I certainly wasn't expecting him to come on stage as I was finishing my speech. I didn't even realize what was happening at first, but as much as it was very flattering, of course, I was more happy that he did that only because it validated Pizzagate. And to me, that was a bigger deal, because there's so many people that have refused to report on this. And it hurts the victims. It hurts the survivors, that have been the victims of satanic ritualistic abuse at the hands of horrible people, including the elites. So for him to come on stage as I'm finishing my speech on Pizzagate, well, if I was just some crazy girl that's making this stuff up, do you think that he would have stood on the same stage as me? Of course not. To me, that was a, maybe not super direct, but kind of a direct way of validating Pizzagate. If Pizzagate was not real, I would not have been allowed to speak about it at Mar-a-Lago. I can promise you that.
No, I certainly agree with you on that. And I think that given the opportunity, and this is just me, the work that you have invested, I mean, you've got hours upon hours, days, weeks, years even, invested in the investigation of child sex trafficking and human sex trafficking, from Pizzagate to the border and all of this. I really think the fruits of your labor are going to be seen in additional arrests coming out, especially dependent upon what information, what new information we might get from the FBI's disclosure. But I'll tell you what, 66 years, interesting number, by the way, of hey, you
know, I know, right? So, of course.
Why not 65? Or why not? But anyway. we'll just put it there. So, yeah, I think we are seeing a lot of fearful people right now because you're on their tail. And folks, Liz Crokin, again, forgive me. Well, no, you know what? I'm proud to sing her praises because she is a formidable foe when it comes to going after the people who are hurting the children. And by the way, she's going to be at Clay Clark's conference in California, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
I speak next Saturday night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next Saturday night. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. That's in Oklahoma or is that in California next Saturday?
Tulare. Everyone says it's called Tulare, but I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. I pronounce everything wrong.
Man, I tell you what, you're worth the price of admission. Okay. Alone. To that conference and getting there. If possible, I'm going to see you in person there, if possible.
Oh, that would be great. They're so much fun. I really encourage people to go. It's just really nice to be around like-minded people. You know, everyone there is really awake. They're really pumped and people are faith-based. There's a lot of people just praying for each other and everyone's ultra MAGA all the way. So I have a blast. Sometimes I have too much fun at these events. Seriously, so much fun.
I love it because you're energetic. You've got the information and you're not afraid. And I know you'll never say this, but I know that you've been threatened. You've been harassed. You've had to do things for your own personal security. And to me, it's awful sad when you cannot get necessarily law enforcement to protect you. Folks, I do know some of the backstory Liz shared privately. I'm not going to speak out of turn, but I'll say this. She's paid a heavy price for the work that she's done. And that's why I ask, and I want to get this, I want to get this right now, properly or correct now. People can go to LizCrokin.net and click on the donate button. Is that the best way to get money to you? Because
they can donate. They can subscribe to my Substack. They can shop my store. I have merchandise there.
Good,
there's
Christmas
different
gifts. Ways. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually put a lot of thought into my designs. So there's just multiple ways people can support me.
Well, I'll tell you what, of all the, because we work with Vets for Child Rescue, Craig Sawyer. We work with Save Them, a transnational organization involving Landon. We work with Shatter Ops, the late Russ Dizdar, his group. And then, of course, Eric the Tech and myself. We do field work in combating and investigating and then combating child sex trafficking. Let me ask you this, speaking of what we do, the district attorneys, local district attorneys, do you get a lot of pushback from them? Or are they the kind, if you have any dealings at all with them, if you try to turn information over to them, do they act like they don't want to hear it, that this is not their job, so to speak, or are they getting more open to you?
I don't deal with any of them, but at America's Future, I'm on the Little Flowers board over there, and we have Project Defend and Protect Our Children. And so we have lawyers, and we have one lawyer who I'm good friends with that's on the board, and he deals with that. And it's both. With some people, we get pushback, or they don't even recognize or realize how big of a problem trafficking is. And it's not just DAs. It's also, you know, police chiefs and sheriffs. And it's just like, what? You don't even know that you have a trafficking problem in your own city. So there's some of that. But then there are some people that are all about working with us and they don't give us pushback at all. It's from what I'm hearing, it's a mix. I don't deal with them directly, but we are doing summits where General Flynn wants us to go to every state where we're educating people and we're training people on how to spot the signs of human trafficking. We'll be in Michigan this Friday and Saturday. I'll be speaking in Michigan Friday night, and then Saturday in the afternoon, I'll do a Q&A. And we are going into local communities to be boots on the ground to get people grassroots trained on how to stop this. Because unfortunately, we can't depend on law enforcement. We can't depend on DAs. We can't depend on people in positions of power always, because so many of them are corrupt. So we are, that's why we're doing this. We're teaching the community how to police itself and how to get involved and what they can do to stop this. So I don't know any other organization that's doing what we're doing. And I can promise you, we are working our butts off, and we are going to be all over the country from now until, I don't know, probably the next 2 years. General Flynn wants us to go to all 50 states.
Wow. Okay. America's Future. .net. Okay. America's Future. Yeah. .net. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to make sure, again, I want to make sure that I get this correct. And there it is on your screen, folks. And so you're going to be in Michigan this weekend, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Friday and Saturday, Michigan. And then January will be in Illinois, and people can register on the website.
Okay.
And so, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you're doing tremendous work out there. I saw that. I think it was just several hours ago, and it escaped me, and I apologize. I should have mentioned that.
Oh, you're fine.
So what do you think? Because I follow you on Twitter, and folks, you can follow Liz on Twitter on really multiple media platforms. It's all at LizCrokin.net. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanPI.com. But what do you think? Do you think Elon Musk is really assisting right now in shining this larger spotlight on your work with Pizzagate? What we know, or I mean, are you hopeful in that respect?
Oh, yes, 100%. Okay. I believe 100% that he's known about Pizzagate for a very long time. I believe that he's doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes to work on a lot of different issues, but particularly to combat this issue. He brought me back on in January of this year, and I've researched and studied him a lot. I think a lot of what he does is very strategic, but it's also very calculated. Yeah. And I 100% believe that he is, I knew he was going to expose this. I knew it was only a matter of time, because he's dropped hints that he was going to go this direction. I know that he is fully aware of Pizzagate. He knows it's real. That's very obvious to me. And I also knew it was only a matter of time. But if you actually research what's gone down between him, X, and Media Matters, well, he's suing Media Matters, right?
Yep.
Media Matters, you know, ran this campaign that slandered him and X, and they did this to try to destroy his business and get people to pull ads. And like, that's what Media Matters does. They have slandered me for years. They have literally contacted companies and gotten them to deplatform me. They've gotten me removed from so many platforms and whatnot that I've forgotten about some of them. Like, my friend reminded me the other day that they got me and a bunch of people banned from Buy Me a Coffee. And so, like, that's what they do. And so you got to wonder, well, why are they so invested in trying to silence and destroy someone like Liz Crokin? Because they're tied to Pizzagate, which you went over in the opening of your show. David Brock used to date James Alphonsus. James Alphonsus is the owner of Comet Ping Pong. You know, he had horrific pedophilic content on his Instagram page. They promote pedophilia at Comet Ping Pong on their website. They had the bands promoting it, also bragging and talking about sacrificing kids. I mean, it's very sick stuff. This is James Alphonsus, Comet Ping Pong, and David Brock. They're all in the same circle. They're all involved in this like really sick, depraved stuff. And that's why they had such a big invested interest in trying to destroy my life. I mean, if you Google my name in Media Matters, you'll see like hit piece after hit piece after hit piece, right? But here's the thing with Media Matters. It's not just hit pieces. They have this secret playbook. that they use for targeted individuals. And they have this whole roadmap on how to destroy someone's life. And it's not just by writing hit pieces about them. It's infiltrating their life. It's like getting involved with like their legal affairs. I mean, you name it, they have ways to like infiltrate your life in every single way possible in an attempt to destroy you. And that's what they did to me. And that's what they're doing to Elon Musk. Well, why are they so mad about Elon Musk? So they're falsely accusing him of anti-Semitism. You know, like, you know, some conservatives are saying, oh, they're just anti-free speech. No, not really. Like when you really peel back the layers of the onion, why are they doing this? Why are these corporations pulling their ads from X? What is it really about? Elon Musk is not anti-Semitic, all right? You want to know what it's really about? It's about Pizzagate. It's that simple. They know that once the truth comes out about Pizzagate, it's over for them. Once the masses learn the truth about these elites, rape, torturing, trafficking kids, it's going to unite people and we will rise up against them. And it will be the end of them. It's that simple. This is the one secret that they have to keep under wraps because, you know, they can cheat in elections. They could stuff ballots. You know, they can do all kinds of crazy stuff. But when the average person hears about, you know, election fraud, they don't care. But when you hear that a child is being like a baby is being raped and being used for satanic rituals, like, no sane, decent, normal person is ever going to be okay with that. And they know that. So this is the one story that they have to keep under wraps. Well, Elon let me and many others that exposed Pizzagate and or Pizzagate related stories back on X. And now he's doubling and tripling down and shining a big spotlight on it by commenting about it and posting Pizzagate memes. And again, I study him very closely. Like everything he does is strategic. He posted a Pizzagate meme, then he deleted it, which I love because he just tries and affected Pizzagate. So they're going crazy because he's validating Pizzagate. Just like they went crazy that I gave a speech at Mar-a-Lago and took a picture with Trump. I mean, Google Liz Crokin, Trump, Mar-a-Lago, like hit piece after hit piece after hit piece. Why are they so triggered by Pizzagate? Because they're all in on it. And it's over for them once this truth reaches the mass consciousness, right? Now, if you look at all these corporations that are pulling ads from X, most of them, if not all of them, are tied to Pizzagate in one way, shape, or form. So, for example, Stephen Colbert, he's good friends with John Podesta. He's been mocking me on his show for years. He's been mocking Pizzagate and lying about it for years. He's involved with Podesta and a bunch of people that were in the Podesta emails that were using the pedophile code words. There are multiple companies that are pulling their ads from X that are somehow tied to Pizzagate one way or the other, and or Jeffrey Epstein, which is basically the same thing.
And I have to credit you with the Colbert Podesta link. You're the one that pointed me in that direction, and man, right on the money. Now, the in a larger sense, and again, I want to be very cautious with your time, but in a larger sense here, do you think what we're seeing with the trans movement, this perverse movement of, you know, hey, you can pass laws and you can't talk your minor child out of sex change surgery. Is this all related to what we're seeing?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. It all comes from the same tree, different branches, I think. And it really kind of all leads back. And my last question to you, and again, I don't know how specific you want to get. And if not, I mean, no worries. But that one email that it seems to be the subject of controversy about Obama, the hot dogs shipping in from, it made no flipping sense whatsoever.
Right.
Okay. Comments on that one? On that?
Right. So there was an email that was sent talking about how they shipped out $65,000 of pizza and hot dogs from Chicago to a private White House party on the taxpayers' dime. And the email implied that they were using clandestine services to transport the quote unquote pizza and dogs. Well, we know pizza's a known pedophile covert. Right. We also know hot dogs is a known pedophile covert. It's number one. Number two, there's no excuse for pizza and hot dogs costing $65,000. Like, that literally makes no sense whatsoever. So the real question is what did they really fly out for the Obama White House party that was kept under wraps, by the way? And he had multiple parties that were kept under wraps. There was also an Alice in Wonderland party that they had years ago, and then the pictures from it didn't come out too much later. Johnny Depp showed up, and it, like, there was this whole, you know, creepy Alice in Wonderland theme, and, you know, they kept it under wraps, you know. And then you look at James Elefantis, that's, you know, showing images of Barack Obama playing ping pong, you know, in the White House for a Christmas party with a child. Yep. You know, and then you think about his chef that just drowned in, like, what, 2 feet of water?
Yes.
You know, and, you know, but then you think about the spirit cooking. You know that they conduct these satanic rituals that Marina Abramović does, and it's called spirit cooking. And, you know, in a lot of the events that she's done where there's public photos, we see them at minimum depicting cannibalism. But I know in reality, a lot of these elites are engaging in cannibalism. I actually did a tweet last night talking about Armie Hammer. He used to brag to all of his girlfriends that he was a cannibal. He actually literally asked one of his girlfriends if he could eat her. He's literally said to her, I would like to eat one of your ribs. And he said he was looking for a doctor that would be willing to remove her rib so he could then barbecue it.
Yes.
Well, who's Armie Hammer? He comes from, like, this extremely wealthy, like, prominent elite family. Armin Hammer is his either grandfather or great-grandfather. And Armin Hammer was, like, in with all the elites, and he was friends with presidents and all these celebrities and the royal family. And he was running a mini blackmail operation like Jeffrey Epstein's. He was recording everyone, every meeting he ever had. He even was, like, spying on everyone in his entire family. And he reportedly was a spy for the Soviet Union. And, you know, Armie Hammer then became the famous actor, and all these women came out and said that he was physically and sexually abusive, and he wanted to literally eat them. And, you know, so, like, these people, you know, I get mocked for saying that these people in Hollywood are satanic pedophiles and who engage in cannibalism. But they openly admit it. Like, they, like, Armie openly admitted it, that he's a cannibal. Like, I posted the screenshots last night. Chrissy Teigen has also openly gone on a show and said that she would eat human meat. You know, it's just, like, these people literally admit that they are pedophiles and or into cannibalism. And then it's like, when we say, hey, that person literally said that they want to eat human meat, or that they do, then it's like, you know, I get mocked, and I'm like, I'm not the one that wants to be a cannibal. I'm not the one that wants to eat, you know, the guy who I'm dating. I'm not asking him if I could eat his rib. I'm not looking for a surgeon that's going to remove his rib so I could barbecue it Friday night and eat it with the, you know, while drinking a beer. Like,
yeah, like, these people are sick. I mean, it strains credulity to think that this is actually happening, but it is. And you know, Liz, I've got you to thank. I really think in everything that we do, by the way, folks, if you're watching this on Rumble or Brighteon or whatever platform, there are the messages posted by Liz Crokin. I would urge you to follow her. In fact, click the follow button on all of her social platforms as well as Rumble. She's got the goods. And
I will say I watched the series called House of Hammer. I believe it was on Discovery. Yes. It might be on a different platform now. And I really find mainstream media-ish type series ever being that good, because they just always scratch the surface. You know, all the Epstein docuseries were awful because they lied, or, you know, you didn't hear about Bill Clinton and the real people that were close to Epstein till like the last episode and whatever. But I will say House of Hammer was really good. It really helps you understand how sick and twisted some of these elite families are. And it also helps you understand that the sexual deviancy and or like the satanic worship, it's generational, because his Army Hammer comes from a whole line of sexual predators and or pedophiles. And unfortunately, most people that are molested as kids usually go on, not always, but unfortunately more times than not, go on to become a predator as well, because that's all they know. And that's how it becomes generational abuse. And so I will say that the series House of Hammer, you know, despite, you know, all the creepy stuff with Army, you know, wanting to eat his girlfriends and whatnot, It really was informative, and it's not very often where I watch a series and I actually learn something that I didn't already know. So, and it will really help you understand like how these twisted families work.
I want to thank you for pointing that out. In fact, House of Hammer, definitely watch that. And most assuredly, folks, Liz Crokin is... If there could be a PhD in this subject, Liz would certainly have one. And I don't know if that's a thing to boast about or to show that you've really been through it. But man, I'll tell you what, you've got the goods, and I really appreciate everything that you do and the sacrifices you've made and the things you've been through that people will never know. And I really, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you. And I would ask everyone listening and watching this broadcast to please support your work. Go to LizCrokin.net. The link will be in the program description box. Please click the link and donate heavily, because she's doing important work. She's doing God's work and looking out for the children, those who can't speak for themselves. And Liz, again, thank you so very much for your gracious gift of time.
Well, you've always supported me. And, you know, there's been many times where very few people supported me and gave me a platform. And you were one of the very, very few that always gave me a voice. So thank you for always being there. No matter how many hit pieces were written about me or how many places I was deplatformed, you always had my back. And I will always be grateful for that. And for you for fighting this fight too so long and being there for me, you know, regardless if I'm down or up. There's very few people out there who have always been there for me like that. So I will never forget that. And I greatly appreciate you too.
Well, you are a national treasure. I love you. And I think about you often, and I pray for you, and I hope to see you at one of the events soon. I really do.
Well, we will, if you're going to be in Tulare, then we'll have to definitely hang out.
I'd love that. And if I can swing it, we'll do it. I appreciate that. Liz Crokin, folks. Liz, thank you so much for your gracious gift of time. We are out of time.
Thank you so much.
All right.
All right. God bless.
All right. Folks, that was Liz Crokin. You know, we could talk about many, many things, but there's nothing more important than protecting the most vulnerable among us. And she doesn't. I don't know if you can. Do you have the photograph? I mean, just a couple of photographs. If you do, great. If not, this is who we protect. The people that can't speak for themselves. These are our most precious assets. And you've got these people out there that want to hurt them. And if you can see half of what Liz has seen, or what we've seen, I don't want to leave on a bad note. I really don't. I just want to thank each and every one of you, because I do know that you will throw your support behind Liz, behind this platform, and behind everyone who is helping, trying to help, and doing a great job of saving those most vulnerable. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a good day.